chapter 6, and I want to get the meeting started.
Marie and Drina.
Oh, they're there now. They're there. Okay, everyone. First of all, you are all very welcome to the meeting here today. Let's just see to get our press some seats. I think he sorted. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are either turned off or switched on to silent, and the use of any mobile device for recording is not permitted. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would also remind members of the Council of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. As I say, you are all very welcome here today. Have we any apologies?
Councillor Bailey, we have Megan Lipset and Adam Wilkinson.
And Councillor Doran also sent his apology. I know we had a few successes in the district over the last month since we last met for full council meeting. I know Kilcoo did particularly well. There have been a few other sporting achievements which I will acknowledge at some stage over the next couple of weeks. If anybody wants me to acknowledge anything or anybody in particular, as I always say, please contact Sheila or myself and we'll get on to that. The only other comment I want to make is to congratulate the events team. We had an absolutely fantastic weekend in the city of Newry, and it was the fifth of our five giant epic adventures. They were phenomenally good. The fireworks were the best that I have ever seen, and I have been inundated with congratulations to the entire team, and I'm sure you'll agree with me that from the first festival on the 4th of June right through to yesterday, they have worked phenomenally hard, and our tourism figures reflect that. So, congratulations to that team. Have we any declarations of interest? No?
Sure. I have a declaration of interest on item 7, which is in part of the minute of the SPNR, and also my name's there on number 10.
Okay.
On the agenda for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Burgess.
Chair, in relation to under item 10, I would be an executive member of NAC, so just state that publicly as well.
Okay. Thank you, Councillors. We will move on to the action sheet from the Council meeting which was held on the 4th of September. You will all have had an opportunity to look through those, but Liam, do you want to mention anything in particular?
In no, Chairman, most of the stuff that's on the action sheet has been resolved again. The local development plan steering group is up and going. I know the planning department have been in touch with each of the parties. We've gotten the representatives on that. So again, if some representatives are still outstanding, I know that we're finalising that at the end of the week, just to come back on that. And again, I know that we're moving ahead on the arrangements for the council meeting with the Health Trust again, which I have 9 members, is on the 30th of October. And again, we'll have chief executives and representatives, senior management from the 3 trusts at that meeting. So again, there's been an engagement session to put together information out there, organised by Ashley Manico on both trust sides. So again, just in terms of that is underway, and the response to the consultation on the health cuts is included on the agenda later on, Chairman.
Okay.
We're happy to take any questions, and many members of questions.
Okay. No questions, okay.
Sorry, Chair, just one point in the programme. Under the minutes of the ERT, it is mentioned a site visit organised between Newcastle councillors and council officers. I wasn't aware we had a DEA called Newcastle.
Is that on the matter?
Yeah,
is that on the action sheet?
The action sheet,
right.
Yes.
Okay, no, Chairman, it should be the morning CEA.
Okay.
Apologies for that.
Okay, Councillor. We will move on to item 4 on the agenda, which is the minutes of the council meeting, which was held on the 4th of September. As always, I will go through it page for page for accuracy, and then I will take any matters arising. We have page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and page 12. Is everyone all right with accuracy?
Yes.
Proposer and seconder for that? Councillor Burgess, can we have a seconder?
Councillor
McAteer. Okay. And no issues. We can...
Sorry, I'm not sure. Can Councillor Burgess set proposals, given that he wasn't here?
Sorry, okay. We have... can we have another proposal?
Councillor McAteer and Councillor Murray.
Okay. Item 5 on the agenda, then, is the minutes of the special council meeting, which was held on the 29th of August. Again, we'll take a page by page for accuracy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and page 6. Can we have a proposer and seconder for the minutes? Okay. And Councillor Harvey seconded. Okay. And everybody happy to move on? Okay. Item 6 on the agenda is the minutes from the ERT committee meeting, which was held on the 11th of September. And again, same page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, page 10, and then we have the consultation, the presentation. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Councillor Burgess and Councillor Curran. And Councillor Savage, you've indicated you want to come in.
Yeah, Chair, just in relation to item 154, Brexit paper. It's been brought to attention by reliable sources in Dublin that many leading manufacturing companies in the greater Dublin area are seriously considering opening subdivisions in UK cities to deal with the challenges they face post-Brexit. I believe that this council should take serious consideration and taking a strategic lead in forming a manufacturing task force made up of a cross-party group of councillors, Newry Mourne Enterprise Agency, Newry Chamber of Trade and Commerce, Warren Point Harbour Authority and other representative bodies within the industry to work collaboratively to assess the opportunities to attract manufacturing companies to Newry, Mourne and Down through cross-border engagement at industrial and governmental level to bring manufacturing jobs and seize this opportunity across Newry, Moran and Down.
Okay, Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chairman, we have established a sort of a cross discipline manufacturing grouping. Again, happy to bring that to the ERT committee and get it formally recognised and get that established. If members are happy enough with that.
Yeah.
Councillor Riley. Sorry, Councillor Savage. Yeah. Councillor Riley, you're on.
Yeah, just on that Brexit issue that Councillor Savage has raised, I'm a quandary here because, yes, there are a lot of groups in the South, and especially the manufacturers of pharmaceuticals that supply the NHS, have indicated that they would like to come into a UK region. But that will be hit on the head if Mr. Verhofstadt gets his way and the border is at the RIC ports, because the £55 billion worth of trade that we do with the rest of the UK would be subject to EU customs rules, which seems crazy. You know, to sacrifice £55 billion of trade to accommodate £2.7 billion with the South doesn't add up. But it's just one of the complexities of what's coming up here in the present time. Yeah, I agree, absolutely. Brexit's going to be a success for us all, and this is just another example. But
okay, Henry.
This is just another example of the potential opportunities, but there's that threat in the background, and I think we must oppose Mr. Verhofstadt and make sure that the Republic of Ireland has open trading with the UK, because they're more dependent on it than anybody. Thank you.
Henry, as always, we're very interested to hear your thoughts and opinions, and I will certainly ask that you would be invited to the ERT committee to put your thoughts forward. You're very welcome, Councillor Riley.
Councillor Casey.
Sorry, Councillor Casey.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It means on the presentation from Mark O'Connell, the tourism thing. And I had raised the issue about the importance of Newry Canal and the way it has been ignored and neglected over the last number of years, and you know, with a bit of investment to become a huge asset to us, and by extension the towpath. As a regular user of the towpath, you know, I call consistently to make sure it's properly maintained, and it does mention further on in that report that it would be getting the relevant attention of the particular section of the council that deals with it. But I think maybe not enough is being done. I don't want for the towpath to lose its natural appeal, but there is a lot of work that could be done for safety, health and safety reasons, overgrown bushes and hedges and stuff like that. And the point I'm going to raise, I raised it with Mr. Scullion, Council Director, this morning. There's a massive tree near the lockkeeper's house as you progress towards Dooley's Bridge. The tree is possibly the same age as the towpath, but there's a massive piece of the tree has come away in a recent storm, and it's an accident waiting to happen. If it does, you know, the supporting branches fail to hold it, it will fall in the towpath, and I'm sure that it's a huge danger. But I think there is some work going to be done. Maybe a team of tree surgeons will be consulted, and some members of staff from the council will have a look and just to see what exactly I was talking about. It takes some looking to actually find it, but when you do notice it, it's a massive piece of the tree. I think there may well be a preservation order on that tree, because I said it's the same age, I would say, as the towpath itself. So, getting back to the importance of Newry Canal, it's important that we do as much work as we can in conjunction with Waterways Ireland to open up the canal and, you know, let's see the tourism aspect of it realised.
Okay. I think, Marie, you're happy enough to maybe just take that on board and look at it further. Nobody else has indicated I'm not missing anybody's life. Oh, sorry, Henry?
Councillor Casey, I agree 100% on the canal issue. And, Madam Chair, given that the one-point bridge is basically dead in the water, if there is money available for infrastructure work, why don't we really concentrate on getting that canal opened from the lock, Carniford Lock, right up through with whatever bridge works needs done? Because that's where the opportunity lies, not in some white elephant project. That... you know, you could actually cut across the island of Ireland from Carlingford right through to Ballyshannon if we had that canal operational. And it's such an opportunity gone to waste. That's real tourism that would put this area on the map. Not festivals, nothing. A real economic boom for this area.
I'm sure, Henry, it will be discussed further at ERT. But Henry, after me sort of being so nice to you, I would just like to remind you that I like to take councillors in only once. So if we can keep the meeting concise. I always had a soft spot for him, Councillor McMurray. Now behave yourself. Okay. We're happy enough then to... we had a proposer and a seconder, hadn't we? Yeah, we did. We move on to item 7, which is the minutes of the SPNR. What I'm actually going to do here, we do have a decision to make regarding the recording of planning committee meetings, but if you don't mind, I'm going to go through the minutes of the meeting and get them proposed and seconded first, and then we'll open up for discussion on the actual recording of planning meetings. So we start again, page by page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, page 7. Oh, sorry. Which one is it?
Yes, Chairman, it's page 3. Page 3.
Is your minute pad might be different to the hard copy, is it? Are you happy enough? Are you happy enough, Councillor Burgess?
No, I think that's been dealt with at the last time. This is only a recommendation.
Yeah. So, can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy, Terry Hertie, and a seconder for accuracy, Councillor Walker? Councillor Brown?
The Chair, I was just wanting to speak on the Planning Committee recording. So
okay, well, we're not actually at that item just yet. So, had we any other issues from that committee? No, with no other issues. So, we're moving on to the second.
SPNR,
yes.
Yeah. It was just on the alcohol bylaws.
Okay. Councillor Brown, could we turn your lights off? And Councillor Riley wants to come in on SPNR.
Yeah, it was just the alcohol bylaws, you know, about the antisocial behaviour of drinking, whatever. And Madam Chair, there's a group that originated in Dundee, and they've done a couple of nights in Newcastle and one in Kilkeel, and they'll be very interested in doing just late night counselling work with people. And I'd be grateful if the council would maybe meet with the guy behind it, and if there's any help at all we could give them, because in Kilkeel on Saturday night there was a young woman very, very seriously injured because of antisocial behaviour, and believe in Newcastle on Saturday night, some young fella went into the tide naked, and he was lucky he didn't die of hypothermia. But it's just if there's anything we can do. These are non-judgmental people, and I think that would be a great help to us, Madam Chair, if we could help them anyway.
Chairman, I'd ask the PCFP manager to contact Councillor Riley to get the details and maybe make an arrangement to meet this group to seek and to take it forward as part of the antisocial behaviour and a safer nighttime economy.
Thank you, Councillor. Garth, is it on the SPNR? Yes. Okay. Again, Councillor Brown, you need to turn off your light. We're doing the SPNR committee first.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. It's actually an item on the Fair Employment Results for a note that the contents have just been noted. And the information I have is that as an employer, we're still falling behind with regards to the Protestant and Unionist community that are employed in our district. So really, I suppose my question is, and I'm wary of this being a self-perpetuating situation, I suppose, Madam Chair, what my query is, civil service do try to take positive steps to redress any imbalance that they have in their local workforce according to the proportion of the local population. I suppose my query is what, if any, positive steps we are taking as a council to try and redress any potential differences in the in our employment practices make up.
Okay, Garth, Dorina is just going to come in on that for you.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor, just on that, we have now received notification from the Equality Commission in Northern Ireland that an Article 55 review will be completed next year. And this is a review of our employment composition and the practices that we undertake. And the this will allow Council to determine whether or not we need to take any further actions to ensure that both Protestants and Roman Catholics are enjoying fair participation in our employment. We are currently at the minute, due to local government reform and vacancy controls, we do have a procedure that we need to follow with regard to first internally trawling a number of our posts to allow for opportunities to those staff that were deemed to be at risk following RPA. However, once we are in a position to go out to publicly advertise, what we have done ahead of any Article 55 review, and if you've seen any of our local advertisements in the press, we have actually put a statement into all of those application forms during the last year, saying that the Council particularly welcomes applications from the Protestant community. So that's a proactive step that we've taken ahead of the Article 55 review, and obviously when that takes place next year, we'll work cooperatively with the Equality Commission to try and address any imbalance in our statistics.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Yeah.
The planning one.
I'm
Yeah, just a minute on the last point, Chair, thanks. The document, the paper that came up at SPNO about the figures that Gav's talking about wasn't just noted. I actually went through the figures and brought up a number of points in that meeting. And we're looking right across, it's actually reflective of the electorate, Gav. There's areas where it's 3-1 and 4-1 exactly in each of the areas. We're looking at appointees in senior management roles across male and female, the people that left the organisation as well. Every one of them, and I think I made the comment that it was amazing to see how accurate the figures were with and how much they reflected the electorate. So just a point of clarity, it wasn't just noted, we actually did comment on the figures.
Councillor, we have nothing else then from the main SPNR. Okay. We're then moving on to the second point, which is the conversation we need to have regarding the options when it comes to planning the recording of the planning committee minutes meeting. So, well, Councillor Brown was in first and he did it, try to get in a couple of times. Are you happy that Councillor Max here too? Okay, Councillor Brown. Oh, sorry. Billy, you were second, actually, and I know there was a bit of a to and fro with the lights, so if you don't mind, I'd take Councillor Brown and then Councillor Walker, because they had both indicated first. Councillor Brown?
Great, thank you very much for sorting that out, Chair. Glad to see this coming before us. I am disappointed that there was no decision made at the SPNR committee. My erstwhile colleague, Vice Chair of SPNR committee, has filled me in on what happened. Very surprised that the committee didn't automatically go for option one, which is clearly the most transparent option. But regardless, I would like to propose that we adopt option one to agree to record the meetings of the planning committee and publish them on the council's website for a 2-year period, retaining them for a total of 6 years at the council offices. This campaign has been ongoing throughout my time as council, has required 2 motions, and I'm glad to see that we are finally close to adopting a transparent stance on the recording of planning meetings. Now that the smokescreen of legal opinion advice has against recordings has dissipated, I see no reason why any councillors here tonight would continue to block this change, which can provide the fullest of transparency and accountability to the ratepayer, many of whom are here tonight, so I'm sure the councillors will take the opportunity to vote in the interest of transparency and accountability to the ratepayer over a committee that often seems shrouded in secrecy and legalistic policy documents. In terms of the second option there, I personally see no reason why we should be charging a fee to people to access documents. So I do not prefer the second option as my preference, particularly without knowing what the fee actually would be. It's fine for developers and agents perhaps to pay a fee, but not for the average citizen. So a bit of clarification on that from the comments will be helpful. But as it stands, Chair, I would like to propose option one.
Okay. The process, Councillor Walker is due to come in, but the process now, I've just had clarity from Eileen, is that we have had a proposal from Councillor Brown. We now need to know, does anybody want to second that proposal? Okay, Councillor Cadogan. So we need to take a vote on that?
No, let the debate.
All right, okay.
And then the major votes we've got with the table.
Cadogan, you have seconded that. Is that okay? You're happy that you're down as the registered second. Councillor Walker, do you want to see if you differ?
Chair, thank you very much, and I will be differing. At the meeting that night, I made the proposal for option three that we keep it as it is. We do not record the meetings, and one of the reasons, or a couple of reasons I give, was a lot of sensitive information is divulged at them meetings. There could be further down the line legal challenges and whatever, and councillors and that could be putting themselves in a position where they could be judicially reviewed, to be honest, in that. And I know people are going to say, but the members of the general public can come in and listen to the planning meetings, etc. But usually the ones that's there are the ones that's planning applications. You know, Joe Bloggs isn't coming in off the site to listen to planning meetings, so they're not. And a lot of sensitive information is dealt with there in relation to families, in relation to health and that. So I would be making a counter proposal that we go with option three.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Have we got a seconder for three? Councillor Riley has... Councillor Riley has indicated. We now actually have two proposals, but yeah, we're going to carry on with the discussion anyway, but we have had two proposals which have both been proposed and seconded. So the next light that has indicated was Councillor Mernon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose the first thing is just deal with Councillor Walker's point about sensitive information. Sensitive information is taken on camera. So that will not be recorded. So, you know, to say that we shouldn't record a meeting because of sensitive information is completely wrong and misleading. I proposed this at the SPNR committee. We took legal advice from the top barrister in Northern Ireland, and this thing, Stuart Beattie, QC. And his advice to us was to record. And I very clearly remember him on the day saying, and despite what we may announce before our planning committee meetings, if we're not recording, you can be sure somebody in the audience is recording. The issue with JRs, we could be in an enforcement position to go to JR or PAC to defend what we have said at committee. We can't rely on the committee minutes to detail exactly what we've said. And as my colleague, Councillor Byrne, had said at the SPNR meeting, he made comments at a previous planning committee meeting which were taken completely out of context as in one statement he made, but in the context of everything that he had said, it was completely different. So it's protection for the members of the planning committee that I feel that we should record the planning committee. The legal opinion we've got from Belfast has also said it will be a useful tool, but then it says guards against maladministration. You know, councillors need to be careful what they say, and you know, they shouldn't be saying anything that they can't defend. So, you know, I don't see that as being a problem either. I have to agree with Councillor Brown. Like, it is all about transparency. The committee meetings are held in public, I don't see a mad rush of members of the public wanting to access our recordings. And if there is agents out there that want to come and try to get work by picking up on mistakes that maybe councillors have made in the committee, they'll just come to the committee and sit and get that information there. But I don't agree with Councillor Brown's proposal that we should publish the minutes on or the recordings on our website, which to give a wee bit of comfort for people that will allow them to be express themselves maybe more freely, knowing that it's not going to be publicly available. So I would like to propose that we run with option two.
Thank you. Have we a seconder? Willie Clark has actually indicated, but when our lights come on, the stay on, no matter, it knocks you off. So if you don't mind, I'm going to Councillor Clark, because he had asked me to record his interest to speak, and then it's yourself, Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Just to say, maybe at the outset, the committee, the planning committee, is a very challenging committee, the most challenging committee in this council. And as a previous chairperson of the committee, and members of the committee would be very aware of the information that does be presented. It's not just sensitive information in regards to medical, it's family disputes. There's one scenario in particular where the fact that the two presenting and people presenting had to be in separate rooms. They couldn't sit in the same room together to give their information or make their submission. So that gives you a sort of flavour of the sensitivities. And there's all these family disputes over land, and ownership of land, and access, and easements, and continually this is throughout in the public domain. And in many times we don't know if it's accurate or not. And there's all sorts of allegations made in that public arena. Now, I'm all for being transparent, and particularly for the recording of the committees. I think that's very important. It was, and Sinn Féin were always very supportive of that position. And indeed, I was involved in bringing motions to the Down Legacy Council in regards to recording all, when we got this technology, was to record all the committees. So in regards to transparency, I don't think we're found wanting. I think what Sinn Féin would agree with what Councillor Walker said, we should be exempting the planning committee because of that type of information that's out into the public arena. But it's not just the sensitive information. It's, as I said, it's family disputes, it's ownership of land, it's economic, sensitive economic information that does be divulged at their meetings, and we all know what was said. And that could actually assist a competitor could then get the recording in regards to that economic information that has been made at first hand. And in regards to the members speaking, that's fair enough. The members will speak for themselves, but the members making their submission are also, they could be making defamatory remarks. And at times that even the council officers then will be unaware if it is a defamatory remark or not. So I just think it puts the council in a very dangerous position, particularly the amount of single dwelling applications that we have, and that's where you get more family disputes. And when it happens in Belfast that there's a recording, meetings, that is more to deal with really, strategic type planning applications. And it's not the same scenario that we find ourselves in this council. As I say, from my own opinion, I think we're setting a very dangerous precedent. I believe in regards to judicial reviews, we're given the information for people to challenge the council on any sort of issue, and it is very dangerous. And it's very dangerous to the ratepayer, because the legal bills that the ratepayer will have to face. Because if somebody takes a judicial review against us, then we have to pay the legal representation then to fight that judicial review. And you'll be doing this on a continual basis. And it's the ratepayer who will suffer in legal fees, hundreds of thousands of pounds on a judicial review. And you get a umpteen of them over a year's period. So it's a very, very dangerous position for the council to be going down. So that's why we'll be supporting option three.
speaker now have the floor.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Yes, certainly, and second Mark's proposal. Certainly, I'll just talk very briefly about Councillor Clark's statement there. You know well that, you know, any of those issues, medical or family disputes, sorry, medical or personal, we do take those actually in total committee. So they're not divulged, and the members of the public aren't there. And I presume then they could be redacted at that stage because we've taken that decision. But I think that it's and the only reason that any hearing took place separately, the two different parts, two different sides of the family, wasn't anything about protecting the council. It was to protect the two groups from each other. You know, that's why that was done that particular morning. And as for competitors, any competitor can walk into any council meeting unless they're excluded by whatever act it is. But certainly that doesn't take place at a planning meeting, as you well know. Competitors can sit in and listen to any part of it. But it was quite fitting in a sense, and the timing of it was even more important, that just shortly after our last meeting on the SPNR, I wasn't at it, unfortunately. I'm not a member of that committee. But I actually had a phone call from an agent trying to ask me, could I recall exactly what the terms and conditions that I recount from the meeting, because that was a total variance from what the planners were actually were saying to them. And it was a glaring example of having a true and accurate record. A recording is totally invaluable and is a complete and accurate record, and it's an undeniable record of what actually took place. And at the moment, it's a one-sided state of affairs. We're getting one side of the story. And as you know, and I'm not criticising our clerks are only recording decisions, but it's the spirit of the decisions that were made and some of the wording surrounding the final parts of a particular decision is absolutely and undeniably important. And as I said, I think somebody already mentioned here that we were going to get challenged. We've already been challenged on our decision without any recording. That we were facing a potential judicial review without any recording. You know, so that, none of that stacks up. And I do think that in the interest of total transparency and accuracy, and I'm a bit more interested really, I suppose, in the accuracy of it, because why should we want to disappoint applicants and agents if there's some doubt in what the interpretation of? I think we're on extremely dangerous grounds, and it's very unusual. It'd be very unusual not to record something like that, or not to want to record it. And it actually as well would protect councillors as well. So, and certainly would listen to the outside argument, but I think our proposal is a much stronger argument. And we have the facility to be able to keep personal information again, that will only be released where appropriate. So,
thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Byrne, you are next.
Thanks, Chair. And just to back up my colleagues, I prefer option two, and just to outline a wee bit of the background in the SPR meeting, I actually, between option one and option two at that meeting. Now, first of all, I'd actually welcome that the audio recordings of the other committees are actually up online this week after the motion that was brought by Councillor O'Brien about 6 months ago. So a number of the arguments that I've had in this chamber and at the SPR committee and through other papers was transparency, and it all comes down to transparency. The reason why I feel option two is the best. Now, we've heard from a number of members that sensitive information is already taken in committee. So it is a nonsense to actually say that sensitive information people would be compromised by recording these meetings. Mark had said about me representing one of my constituents at a meeting where I was misquoted. Now, even though I have, you know, the submission that I had handed in and the conversation went off on a tangent, you know, I would have liked to go to a recording, and it would have helped in that sense, where, you know, it's a different interpretation. They can run with one interpretation where I can just fight my own case. The reason why I think option two is probably the best, that they're talking here in the papers of such sensitive information or defamatory remarks or whatever, that it's going to take a team of officers to redact the contents of the planning committee before putting it online. Now, a compromise surely would be that we record the meetings, and if anybody asks for copies of the meetings, then that copy is redacted to whatever level before it's sent. We can monitor that and see how it's working. Now, if we get, you know, a number of people asking for audios all the time, we realise, you know, the amount of people that actually want it. We could move to option one. But by saying option one now, there's that much information, and officers will have to redact this and redact that in between meetings a month at times, and it's going to be a body of work in the office. Let's look at option two then. And if people ask for it, redact that information. So I think if we do that, that's why option two holds water. I don't think the reasons for not recording they're a nonsense if you take that into consideration. The fact that we can go in the committee and sensitive information, and we can hold them on record and only release them when people ask for them and redact the sensitive information, well then the other argument for option three doesn't hold water and it's absolutely a nonsense. So I propose for transparency that we go with option two.
Councillor Byrne, I just asked Mr. Hannaway just to make comment about that just for clarity for myself.
It's just in terms of the redaction issue, you'd probably have to redact them immediately, because once you'd hold them on, they're a discoverable document, so you'd have to make them available immediately. You couldn't redact them just when somebody asked them for them, because so you'd really have to redact them once they were done. But that's a job that can be done, you know, it can be done on a sort of shortly after the meeting.
Thank you for that clarity. Councillor Enright.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm speaking in support of Councillor Brown's proposal on number one. And I think it must be said that good governance doesn't suggest that everything to do with planning should be in the public arena. Any economic advantage to one person or another is lost as soon as you make a planning application. And certainly from a legal point of view, I think it's fair to say that pretty much, if not all councillors on this council are of the highest quality, and we try to do our jobs to the best of our ability. And we're far less likely to get in trouble if we record the reasons why we've made our decisions than if we attempt to hide them away. From a legal point of view, we're more likely to get into trouble if we have no evidence about what we've said and done than we are if we have it recorded. I must say I'm surprised about Billy supporting number three. Billy's basically saying he knows better than the barrister who gave us an opinion, which I somewhat doubt. And furthermore, Billy hasn't even sat on that committee, so I'm struggling to see how he could have such an opinion in the first place anyway.
Okay.
Finally, if we're forced to go with
Councillor Brown, Councillor Enright, every councillor is entitled to their opinion. Okay, Councillor Walker, Councillor Brown, please don't engage in a conversation with other councillors. We're going through the chair. Cadogan, if you would like to finish your point, so
thank
we can
you.
Move on.
I do believe that my point is backed up by a barrister, whereas Billy's isn't. In conclusion, I would say that clearly number one is the correct way to do it from a governance point of view. I'd be very reluctant to go down number two unless there was a minimal charge being afforded. I really don't see the benefit of it at all. So basically, supporting number one.
You are now on the floor.
Thank you very much. I absolutely agree with full transparency in the life of the council. But in this instance, who makes the determination that something's sensitive? And certainly in, just sitting down and talking to people who are concerned about planning issues, you know, to learn about somebody's benefit entitlement, to learn, how their physical ailments affect them and whatever, it's hard enough. It's hard enough for somebody to go along and give those points. But if it's going to be recorded and maybe brought up against them or held them, maybe not posterity, but for 6 or 7 years, it is off-putting. And is there a universal determination on what's sensitive? Is it the applicant who says this is sensitive, or is it the chairman? Is there objectivity? Or is it all subjective on the day? So for those reasons, and those reasons only, I believe that the privacy is paramount for the applicant. And if our committee clerks, who are very highly skilled members of this council, you know, are we saying that we don't trust their ability to make accurate recordings or records of what happened at a committee? Well, I think that's really basically an insult to our committee clerk. So that's the only reason I'm supporting this. In terms of transparency, yes, for every other committee in this council, but this is the only one where it's so intimate for the many of the applicants, and that's why, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Craig?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I, as you know, I'm the Chair of the Planning Committee this year, and I'm actually supporting Option 3. And I feel that there's another argument here which needs to be made, and that is essentially, as Councillor Clark says, the Planning Committee is a very highly pressurised situation. Councillors have performed exceptionally well on the committee thus far, but they all do feel under a lot of pressure. They have to choose their words very carefully. They have to make sure that they articulate in detail what line of question they want to either the applicant or in fact the opposer. So the danger is that councillors would have been deemed through the line of question to have prejudged an application, and that's one thing which is most important, is that any councillor that sits on the planning committee is not deemed to have prejudged an application until they've heard the full debate and until the actual vote comes to take place. So I would worry about a challenge to individual councillors who are just trying to make a point, that challenge to an individual councillor during the debate that they have already prejudged the outcome, and there's thus a challenge maybe taking place. So I fear that it could stifle legitimate debate in the and the planning committee meetings, and for that reason, I mean, as regards open and transparency, of course. Yes, I mean, that's open to the public. I mean, people can come in if they wish to sit and to listen to the whole debate. That's not an issue. I don't know how we can be any more open and transparent than that. It's throwing the doors open and letting anybody who has an interest to come in and sit there. But I do feel that option 3 is the best option, because ultimately it's a final decision, which is an important decision to be taken. Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Craig. Councillor Byrne, you've put your light back on, but you've already come in.
Yeah, and it's only for a point of clarity, and I'm sure that you allowed Councillor Riley in twice in ERT, you might allow me to come in.
And I.
A point of clarity.
Councillor Byrne?
No, it's obvious. But on a point of clarity, can I? It's important.
Councillor Byrne, I will. If you keep it extremely concise, you are not going back over your argument again. You have had your opportunity, and I have told you repeatedly from my trip to chair that I take councillors in on one occasion during a debate, and you had your occasion. But on this point, because I made a slip with Councillor Riley, I will allow you in. But I can assure you, as I have reminded you at just about every meeting, that during a debate, I give every councillor one opportunity to fight their case. So give us your line.
It's a point of clarity, Chair, and I suppose I'm appreciative of the slip to get back in. But the Chief Executive had said that we may not be, actually won't be allowed to charge a fee, I believe, between the SPNR meeting and this council meeting. So just for a point of clarity, are we able to charge fees? I'm obviously against a fee being charged for this. And I remember when we debated at SPNR that you said that we may not be able to charge a fee.
We may not. Again, one of the reasons for actually implementation of any decision, i.e. option 1 or option 2, was that we need to get a limited legal opinion, both on that and both in terms of members of the public giving evidence in terms of how we deal with that. So my understanding is because under freedom of information, we can charge a fee. It'll depend on the cost of it.
Yep. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't wish to dwell on the points, Chair, but I'm looking a wee bit of clarity from the Chief Executive. Should the committee agree to go with option 3, does that fit with Section 75 legislation and disability discrimination legislation, whereby an unsighted person
would not be able to access the goings on of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Chairman, you know, in terms of the side, we don't translate in under Braille again. This point is that the minutes of the meeting, we can make the minutes available, but no, it does tie in with the Section 75 requirements. And again, you know, any members, irrespective of their on site, can actually attend the meeting and hear the debate.
First, we now have a proposer and seconder for all three. We are going to take them as they were proposed and seconded. The first option to be proposed was option one. It was proposed by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Enright. And that proposal is to agree to record the meetings of the Planning Committee and to publish them on the Council's website for a two-year period, retaining them for a total of 6 years at the Council's offices. Can we take a vote? All of those in favour of option one?
In the interest
of transparency, I'd like to record a vote. OK. All of those in favour of option one? A recorded vote?
Yeah, so this is an option one, Chairman. So starting off, Councillor Andrews. Abstain. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Against. Councillor Burns. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig. Councillor Curran. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Dorn absent. Councillor Enright. Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor Glenn Hanna absent. Councillor Barry Hart. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Hyland. Councillor Kimmins. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Loughran. Councillor McCauley. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McMahon. Councillor McMurray. Councillor Mulgrew.
Again.
Councillor Mernon. Councillor O'Gribben absent. Councillor Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rowan. Councillor Savage. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stokes. Councillor Taylor. Yeah. Councillor Tenley. Councillor Traynor. Yeah. Councillor Walker.
Okay. Option one has not been carried. We now take a vote.
Just for the record, Chairman, we've called out the vote.
20 against.
20 against. 5-4. 20 against and 5-4. Is that the same?
Yeah.
And 12 abstentions.
Yeah. Okay, are you all happy with that? 20 against, 5-4, and 12 abstentions. We now move on to option two, and again option three is to agree to exempt the Planning Committee from audio recordings and to continue to record the proceedings through the artificial written minute record only. Artificial. Sorry, the recording.
If this is carried, Chairman, we not vote on.
Yeah. So we were going to take a vote on option three, and if this is carried, we then don't need to take a vote on option two. So all of those in favour of option three, and again, we can record or the vote.
It is recorded vote.
Yeah. So. Liam, you want to start off?
Yeah, Chairman, all three are recorded votes. Councillor Andrews.
Nil. Okay, nil. That makes no.
No.
Councillor Bailey absent. Councillor Brown? Against. Councillor Burgess? Councillor Burns? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Carr? Councillor Casey? Councillor Clark? Councillor Craig? Councillor Curran? Councillor Devlin? Councillor Dorn absent. Councillor Enright? Councillor Fitzpatrick? Councillor Hannah absent. Councillor Hart? Councillor Harvey? Councillor Harty? Councillor Highland? Councillor Kimmins? Councillor Larkin? Councillor Loughran? Councillor McCauley? Councillor McAteer? Councillor McMahon? Councillor McMurray? Councillor Mulgrew?
Again, four.
Councillor Moore. Councillor Morning. Councillor O'Gribben is absent. Councillor Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rowan. Councillor Savage. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Taylor. Sorry. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tenley. Councillor Traynor. Councillor Walker.
Okay, so that has also been lost, 15-4, 22 against.
We have to take the next one.
Chair, before you take the third proposal, if it is carried, the third proposal is carried, can we build in a review into that proposal to review it after 6 months?
Councillor Moran agree to that? So could you put on the mic, Chairman, just about some more to your agreement?
Yeah, sorry, I can amend the proposal that we'll review it after 12 months.
Okay, and the seconder, Councillor McAteer?
Are you happy enough for that, to accept that amendment as a seconder of the motion? Thanks, Mr. McAteer.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. Yeah, okay.
Right, okay. And again, we have the recorded vote. So
it's for option two, which is to agree to record the meetings of the Planning Committee and retain them to Council offices for a period of 6 years, providing copies to the public on request and potentially for a fee. And this system be reviewed after 12 months from implementation, which we're looking to implement in January 2018. So start. Content? Chairman can start?
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Andrews? Councillor Bailey absent. Councillor Brown? Councillor Burgess? Councillor Burns? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Carr? Councillor Casey? Councillor Clark? Councillor Craig? Councillor Curran? Councillor Devlin? Councillor Dorn absent. Councillor Enright? Councillor Fitzpatrick? Councillor Hannah absent. Councillor Hart? Councillor Harvey? Councillor Harty? Councillor Highland? Councillor Kimmins? Councillor Larkin? Councillor Loughran? Councillor McCauley? Councillor McAteer, Councillor McMahon, Councillor McMurray, Councillor McGrew,
again,
Councillor Mernon, Councillor O'Cribben absent, Councillor Murray, Councillor Quinn, Councillor Reilly, Councillor Rowan,
Councillor Savage. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stokes. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Kennelly. Councillor Traynor. Councillor Walker.
Okay. 23, 14. So the motion is, our option two is carried. Okay, councillors, we're going to move on to item 8 on the agenda, the minutes from the Active and Healthy Communities. Michael Lipset couldn't be with us here, so Liam is here if there are any matters arising. Again, I'm going to go page by page. Councillor Burgess, happy to go, and I'll go a wee bit slower for you, okay? Okay, so it's item 8, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities. Again, page by page for accuracy. Page 1. Are you happy enough, Councillor? Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy, please? Councillor Kimmins, have we a seconder? Councillor Walker. And Councillor Riley, you have indicated that you want to come in.
Yeah, it's just on matters arising, Madam Chair. It was about the invasive species in Daisy Hill Forest. I think we're going to try and rid the area of it. But I had reported a few instances in the Mooring countryside where we had Japanese knotweed, and apparently the member of staff that would normally deal with that is on maternity leave. But I was just wondering, is there anybody else can follow that up and come back to
Chairman, I'll come back to you on that, Chairman.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Councillor. Councillor Casey.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'm not on the Active and Healthy Communities. It's about the new leisure centre opening and the sales promotions. Maybe someone from that particular department could contact me and let me know just what the details are of some of that, because I've been contacted by people who are currently members of the old sports centre, and their membership is paid up until maybe the end of the year or even further on. You know, how they're going to be dealt with, how they're, you know, what promotions are offered to them. Plus, I'm told by guys same age as myself who have been, you know, able to avail of reduced options because they're over a certain age, that the package that they have to pay might dramatically increase over the next number of months when we open this new leisure centre. I don't want to see that happen, because I mean, the other people who are using the sports centre at the end of the day and the leisure centre. So if maybe somebody from maybe Roland or somebody can have a conversation with you, let me know what's happening.
Yes, Chairman, I can do that. Certainly the council agreed to the charging pricing for the centres across the board, but certainly Roland can back to you on that.
Okay, and we all know Councillor Casey's over 50 now. Okay, and only just... Okay, so we are happy then to move on to item 9, which is the minutes of the RT&S committee, which was held on the 20th of September. Again, we're going to go through it page by page. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, page 7. Have we a proposer and seconder for the minutes? Councillor Kern, have we anyone to second the minutes? Councillor Traynor or Councillor Clark? Okay, and Councillor Byrne.
Sure, just in relation to matters arising. Item 10 or item 11 are both the same, R21. Myself and Dermy attended the latest R21 meeting the other day, and as you would imagine, the decision to grant planning permission from a civil servant for the incinerator plant was the hot topic of the day. It led on to what was quite a vigorous conversation where tempers were a little frayed, let's just say. Where parties put their positions on the line, But putting aside the planning for 1 minute, we in the Old Down Council were always told that there was certain points along the way of the R21, and I'm talking specifically about the incinerator project, and not the, the blue bins, the brown bins, but certain trigger points along the way were, would come back to councils to take a vote. And at that time, the council had not signed up to anything and therefore had, had no commitment to R21 or to that project. The chief executive of R21 certainly led members to believe at the meeting that as we had taken certain milestone votes in the past to allow the plan to go ahead and to allow the PAC report and even to put the contingency liability fund together, that we had, in his terms, we had committed to the project to a certain degree, and that there would, if we decided to pull the plug at a later stage, then we could leave ourselves open potentially for surcharge. My question is, rather this time than getting behind, the last time we asked for legal opinion, we had the barrister opinion from R21 on the plan on appeals. This time, I would like the council to get out in front of the legal opinion. Could we go and see where we stand? We need to know as a corporate entity, are we committed to R21 by default without voting for it? Or can we, without risk of surcharge, decide when the business case is presented to us and whatever it is in a few months or a year's time, can we make that decision? And that's for all members, regardless of whether you're for or against the project, regardless of whether the price of the tonnage is subsidised by central government or whether it's completely paid by council. We just need to know what our options are and need to know at an early stage. So could I propose that we go and certainly seek, I'm quite happy to seek the chief executive and the director's point of view on it, first of all, but with a view to getting our own independent legal advice on where we stand at the minute and what we've committed to and what we don't have.
Sharon, you know, I can certainly do that. My understanding has always been is that you have two decisions to make before you finalise the contract. First of all is in regard to the amount of waste you're going to provide to the incinerator, for want of a better word, or the, as they call it, the waste to the energy plant, and also then in terms of the gate fee, the final gate fee. Members will be conscious that this project has been rumbling on for 5, 6, 7 years from initial inception, and because of several delays has changed that. Again, members can only be surcharged if they go contrary to the legal advice that they get in respect of a decision. So again, but I suppose just that's just by way of my knowledge on the item, but certainly I can take advice from it, but certainly that's news to me, but because my understanding was the council would have a decision to finally sign off to the contract, and that was based on the tonnages of waste and loss of the gate fee.
I'm happy to take that, sir.
Just to clarify, to take legal advice in regard to our commitment in terms of signing up to the project and in any decision that the council may make, positive or negative, regarding that decision.
Is everybody happy enough with that?
Okay, Chair, thank you, and thank you for your patience. But I do recall after the visit that we had to the site, to County Meath and the incinerator down there, much discussion was had about where we stand within ARC 21. Legal advice, I think, at that time said that we must support the planning application going forward, and that in the future it will come back to our council even to establish whether we remained members of ARC 21, because I remember asking some very specific questions on the issue. And in that respect, I think that's fully in agreement with what Stevie's proposing there, that we need absolute clarity on where we stand with ARC 21. So.
And if we can get that legal opinion, Liam, we can
We can do that, Chair. I'm reluctant to start if this discussion goes on much further from the legalities of it, but from a contractual legalities. But yes, I suppose, you know, the decision to pull out of the contract would also call into question, you know, your position within Act 21. If you are a member, if you are committed to the project and buy into the project, then you're a member of Act 21, because it's a corporate body which will make decisions on your behalf.
Okay, councillors. Councillor Devlin and then Councillor Clark had indicated to me again he didn't want to put his light on because it would have over sort of shot everybody else's. So, Councillor Devlin, do you want to come in first?
Yeah, Chair, my query refers to something else on down the agenda. Are we finished that?
Well, we're finished with ARC 21. We've taken the vote and everybody's happy that we're going to seek legal advice. So,
Councillor Kern wants to come in.
Councillor Kern, do you want in ARC 21?
And I was of the impression, Stevie, at that time when we took a vote on, that the information that we needed to make that final decision on, the final decision was whether we stay or not stay, or go against, or go for. But I thought it was waiting to the actual advice came from ARC 21 to our and every council, so it says that at that particular point in time, then we can make a decision. And there will be, as the Chief Executive quite says, there could be legalities and there could be surcharges and things like that there coming across together. But I was of the opinion that we waited to they give us their final decision. Is that not correct?
Could I just ask that rather than get into a debate here, that we need to get a lot of clarity here from the legal advice. I think we need to just park it here, get our advice, and this is a debate that we can have at a later date when we've had that advice and look at our contract and what have you. Okay, councillors. Councillor. Liz, sorry, yeah, Councillor Devlin. We all lost our spaces, so I'm taking Councillor Devlin next and Councillor Clark. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Chair. My item relates to page 2 on the RTS agenda, the camper vans in Newcastle. I suppose, firstly, I want to welcome the officer's report on this issue. Since becoming a councillor 4 years ago, I have been consistently receiving complaints regarding camper vans in respect of Downs Road car park in particular. In terms of the RTS minutes, I did have an issue with council delaying the erection of these barriers on both Downs Road and Glen River car parks, as this delay wasn't time-bound in the actual committee minutes. We as a council enforce the caravan site licence conditions, and in these conditions we as a council say that due to health and safety reasons, units must be 5 metres apart, and our officers actively enforce these rules on the ground and in private sites right across our district. So I don't think that we can turn a blind eye or knock this can down the road any longer. We all know that around events in Newcastle, camper vans are often parked side by side, gas canisters side by side, and if something were to happen, it would really be a concern. I do fully welcome camper vans to Newcastle and value the revenue that they bring to the town. However, I don't believe that we as a council should be displacing business from our private sector, who have invested very heavily in delivering for our tourism industry. However, in light of conversations I've had with officers as recently as today, I'm happy to propose that council investigate Islands Park as an area for camper vans to park up on the basis that its facilities would not displace business from the local private provider. I did meet with some camper van owners today, and their preference would be Islands Park over that of Donard Park for reasons of safety. Can I ask that these investigations be expedited, as they too are time-bound because these barriers need to go up as a matter of urgency? But on that note, I do still want to thank Colleague Jackson in particular for the work that he's done on this matter. As I say, I've been here 4 years and it's been kicking around that length of time, so thanks to Colleague for that, and hopefully we can see some progress on the ground, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Clark, I've got your proposal, Councillor Clark.
In regards to maybe take an amendment to it, Lord, I agree wholeheartedly in your comments and in regards to the motorhomes. It has been an issue for all Newcastle councillors, Newcastle-based councillors, sorry, Brian. And it's been an ongoing issue, and there's been a lot of tensions and frustrations. particularly from my point of view, is in the Glen River car park has been a really thorny issue, where you've got carers going to the nursing home and also caring for people in that vicinity, not getting availability of a car park. And so I think it's important that we do be motorhome friendly as well at the same time as a tourism destination. It's important we don't send a message out that we don't want tourists coming in camper vans. I think it's important, as Councillor Davin was saying, that we don't want to put a facility in place that's going to displace the camper vans or motorhomes going to the private sector. So it is a balance. But I just feel that if we don't identify a suitable site, that you're going to create, you know, if we don't take the time to get the decision right, you know, you're going to actually create problems elsewhere. And I'm thinking of the likes of the Rockpool car park, which is on the seafront, the Harbour car park is on the seafront, Blue Quarry, Bloody Bridge. You know, if you displace them off one part of the seafront without providing alternatives, you know, I think you'll create bigger problems and more expenditure. So I think we have a bit of time, because I think it's important that we get a properly designed barrier that complements the seafront. We've invested millions of pounds on our seafront and also on our streetscape, so we need something that's compatible with that and that doesn't diminish the beautiful seafront that we have. I think Islands Park, and I don't mind investigating Islands Park, and I think you'd have to carry out in a consultation with residents in that area also, because the reason Islands Park had a barrier in the first place was because of the antisocial behaviour from motorhomes and caravans, and they were up in arms, and then that was in the Down Legacy Council, then the barrier was put up. So if we propose we take them down with that consultation, you could have the residents up in arms. So I think we'll take a wee bit of time and look at the Donner Park site. I think Donner Park's a good site. We good lighting in Donner Park, obviously good service in Donner Park. It's close to local amenities, local businesses. I think we could look at both sites and see if we can get a suitable accommodation, excuse the pun, or a suitable site for 6 to 8 camper vans. So if we could add in Donner Park as well as the Islands Park.
Are you happy to accept the amendment that...
Chairman, we can do two things here. We can proceed to erect the barriers as the decision of the committee, and actually then do the investigation in tandem with that there, but in terms of implementing two decisions, so one doesn't hang on the other.
Happy that you've proposed it and seconded. Is there anyone else who has their light on that wants to come in on this issue? Councillor Quinn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Could we also... Could we also take advice from other councils? Because Newcastle shouldn't be unique. The barriers work quite well in Uray and Mourne, and I'm not aware of any objections over the years from the camper vans there. Also, the fact that a site for 6 or 8 camper vans in Newcastle wouldn't look at half the problem. Because any weekend you go down there, there's more than 6 or 8 camper vans blocking up parking spaces.
Chairman, I think in reference to the paper of the committee, there was we did look at Cosby Coast and Glens, which again a similar issue around Port Rush and Port Stewart.
Everyone is happy with that amendment, and then we're going to move on. Councillor Kimmon.
Yeah,
thanks for your patience. I know. Look, it's just the way the lights are going, and rather than boomeranging around, you know, different topics, we'll stick to one topic at a time.
Well, I actually was after Laura, so.
Yeah, I actually was, yeah. Councillor
Kimmon. It's an issue just regarding the bin collection, and generally our refuse and cleansing department. Firstly, over the last few days, I've had a few contacts from people who haven't even got their brown bin yet, some who their whole estate have got a brown bin, but one house hasn't, and I've raised it on several occasions, raised it at the RAF meeting, and still no brown bin, but they're getting a sticker put in their bin to say if the food and waste in the bin they will be penalised. Likewise, the whole road, you know, is still without a brown bin, and they're all getting stickers put in the bin. As well as that, some people, because it's been such a gradual process in getting the brown bins out, have contacted asking if the advice on what can go into each bin could be reissued, if possible, because it is quite a while ago. And certainly just the level of response from some of our officials in that department is extremely poor. I have several occasions on the contacts that I have, who I've been told to contact in relation to bin collection, dog filing, etc., you know, putting in the dog filing bins. I'm still waiting on responses, and sometimes when you ring, you can't always get them. So is there a contact that we could be given as councillors who will get back to us, because it's very poor, and you know, these are things that need to be dealt with quite quickly. I know every day we get the summary sheet issued regarding bin collections if there's been any delays, but it has been raised before that these aren't very clear as to housing states, except it's just Newry, South Armagh and different squad numbers. So whenever we email in to say, what about Barkhoff Park, and don't get a response, it's very unclear as to which squad covers which area. So it's just if we could get a wee bit of clarity on that, and a clearer avenue to who we contact in relation to that, so we can get feedback there and then. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, I'll get the director to give you a call tomorrow to pick up them issues.
Thank you.
Chair, it's just on the issue that I'd raised at the meeting about antisocial behaviour in Carnegat Newry. It's there that I asked a request for a one-off major clean-up to be undertaken to the rear of Carnegat. It's a major clean-up to be undertaken to the kickabout in the Parkhead Crescent of Carnegat, and that it would then be added on to a cleaning schedule to be done on a regular basis.
Clarify that, Councillor. Councillor McAteer, again, thank you for your patience. I feel I'm standing
you know to
you a lot
sort of
tonight, but Councillor McAteer.
That's the patience. Anyway, thanks, Chair. Yes, again, actually Liz actually did beat me to it on the one. It was about the bins as well. And item 105, page 2 on that report, which is the compostable liners. Yes, and I'll just reiterate again. I mean, I had a few phone calls this week, again, about these bin stickers being placed on the bins without any brown bin appearing, or no indication of a brown bin appearing. And it's certainly sending out confusing messages to our citizens. I also agree with Liz when she talks about the unanswered or returned phone calls as well. Yes, there's a bit of lacking there. I also emailed a member of staff as well asking why a bin run was abandoned. I mean, well, I never got a reply as to the reason for it. Now, the other issue really it was about these compostable bin liners. I see there whether it's going to comprise some sort of report, but I understand from a constituent anyhow that currently she is required to go to Greenbank and collect a roll of bin liners at the moment. Now, previously she collected them there for herself and her mother, but now she was asked for identification and where she lived. And nearly, she actually quoted that she thought she was going to be asked to give a blood sample. But she suggested quite wisely that when we're doing this review, could we suggest that maybe the bin operatives be given a box of those to give out once a month, and it would make it life so much easier. But I just would like some answers to see.
Chairman, the agreement was that we provide one box of, then the rest of them are for sale in local shops. But the council only provide one set of bin liners.
Well, see when the sticker goes on the bin. I mean, I understood. I've been told that eventually, when the brown bins do come after some months after the stickers, that there will be some sort of explanation about it. But I do think we're all over the place, and certainly it makes us as councillors look foolish looking. but we can't provide an answer.
I was chair of that committee last year, and my understanding of it through the conversations were that there would be one rule of the liners, and thereafter they would be readily available within all the shops and supermarkets, which I know from using them myself they are. Now, obviously, we can have a look at that at some stage as part of a review, but certainly it was never indicated that that would be the case, that people could, you know, continue to get them free from the council.
Well, the reason I ask is that we don't have any brown bins in our area, or at least in part of it, part of I live in, so I can't speak from experience. But we did get a sticker put on our bins this week, so hopefully within the next number of months we will get a brown bin. So, but there is no, so therefore the message going out here tonight really, and I think the communication probably needs to be reiterated again, because the rollout, as we all know, hasn't been completed. So we need to say, right, for an introductory period, is that right, that there is liners given out to get you up and going, and then your bill. That's the end of the story. Okay, well, that's very good. Okay, thank you. But I do think that the communication needs to be improved when people call in, and at least the courtesy of a return phone call. Especially if there emails in, at least the courtesy of ringing.
Point taken. Okay, Councillor Merlin, you are next.
Thank you. Just to follow up on Councillor Kimmins' point there, with all chat, say it sort of a gloss over, but the support that we do need to get information out there about what goes into each bin. I myself recently had to go looking to try to see what I had to go into my blue bin, or what could or couldn't go into my blue bin. And the only place I could get the information was in the Urian Mourne's old website. And it was actually quite impressive the way that they had put it up and showing all the things that were into it. So, you know, I agree with Liz, we need to get that information out again. Where are we with our website? This sort of information you would have thought at this stage should be on our website. So why are we getting an update on that? Just on your bin liners, the wee bin liners, the shop bought ones don't fit, in my experience. They're too small. Do you end up with holes in them?
Okay. Councillor Riley, you are in now.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Just on what Declan said about the multitude of phone calls that councillors were getting as a result of the stickers going on whenever the brown bins haven't been emptied. And if you look at the waste report, the reason given is that there's no drivers available to actually send the lorries out. And I would just like to advise you, Madam Chair, that I just renewed my HGV licence, and I can drive anything from a bin lorry to a 40-foot articulated lorry, so I am prepared to help out if need be.
Okay, Councillor, we'll get you an application form. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Okay, yes, just a few issues with regard to the brown bin, and I don't want to dwell on it. Again, I've just received a letter when I came in here tonight from a ratepayer. Very annoyed that when they sent information from the Newry side of it, it's picked up by John Patrick, finally forwarded to Newry. Took some 3 weeks to phone the gentleman back, and still nothing proactively been done several weeks ago, despite them paying quite a high level of rate. I've emailed through to the staff and the crews with regard to bins and bin lorry bins not being either delivered, the brown ones as well. It just seems a bit funny that they get to so many houses on a road and then they stop, okay? Or they skip different houses in between, and I'm not sure why they're skipping like one or two houses. The house that they're talking about are actually on the roadside. There should be no dispute the fact of whether there's a lane or not a lane. And then it's, are they connecting the black bins with the brown bins? Are they connecting the blue bins with the brown bins? If we can just have that clearly, I do feel that the marketing department has certainly upped its game with regard to getting information out. I did campaign for that for quite some period of time, and I actually feel now that the stuff's getting out there, if we could actually just put up the information and say, the bins are collected in this rotation, or the bins are collected A, B, C, and D. There's so much that a local councillor can do. It really is up to the department to get that information set out much quicker, much more rapidly. But if they're setting out bin the brown bins to be delivered, can they get them sent out, do a whole load at a time instead of stopping and starting and coming back?
Councillors, just for your information, my vice chair here has very kindly looked up the Newry Morning Down website, and there is full information about when your bins are collected and exactly what can be put into the bins, and it looks fairly self-explanatory, to be perfect, in fairness, you know, but it is there. Now, if anybody wants to have a look at it and sees that, you know, it can be improved, we can have a look at that at a later date. Councillor Carr?
Thank you, Chair. I think Councillor Fitzpatrick has addressed some of the issues, because I too had a copy of the letter from the constituent who really had been waiting on a replacement brown bin for 5 years. When it did arrive, it was of a very small size and it's not fit for purpose, put glass in and so on. So when the issues being dealt with, Gillian raised them, maybe I could be copied in on that. Okay. Who's the best person? Not being on the RTS committee, I have to say, sometimes you miss out on the fine detail. People tell you brown bins are on the way. They're definitely being rolled out across the district. You just accept the fact that they're the normal size and they will be collected in the normal way. This guy is very, very upset with what's happening and how he was treated in waiting for information coming back from the council. So, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Traynor?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Suppose I am the chairperson of that committee, and as yourself has alluded to already, you've been on that last year, and we all know that RTS is probably by far the biggest department we have in this council, with a lot of the mandatory regulatory sort of tasks. With regard to the brown bin scheme, though, because there is a lot of issues with the brown bin scheme, but we have been assured, come the next meeting, that we will have a review of the brown bin scheme, which will, I would hope, pick up on a lot of the issues that have been raised tonight. Now, the only thing I can say tonight is that I would hope that that does come to pass. We have been meeting on this since August, when a couple of the colleagues here called for it. Councillor Craig has been calling.
Could I just ask you just to keep your voices down for a wee minute? I know it's very warm in here, but I'm having difficulty hearing everything the Councillor Traynor is saying. Thanks.
Councillor Craig had in August initially made a call for this, just to look into the idea of the reusable bags, no, the bags for the caddies. But I think that at this stage we are waiting quite a long time, but it is one of the biggest projects that we have rolled out in the department in the last year. So these issues were always bound to come to us. So I think that hopefully in the next month, whenever we have a review, we can start to identify the issues and we can start to actually get a resolution to some of the issues. Just to put that in the record, sir.
Thank you, Chair. And just on the matter around the internet, obviously there's components of our website that don't actually work. A page will not be found. But that's not why I really want to speak, because we are testing it now that you've referred us to it. There is people within the rural area where their broadband is 0.1 megabytes availability, and then there is an older generation that do not know how to use the internet. So the information being on a paper material would be a lot more beneficial to that generation, and also to those that will not have the good speed to access our fantastic website.
Yeah. Just Chairman, maybe just to also remind members that, you know, again, check the press to pick it up, that, you know, NMD Direct, Council Magazine, it's very detailed information on it. So again, I'm conscious that, you know, everyone doesn't have access. Elderly people don't access the internet, so, but the NMD Direct provides that information.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just one point. The down element of the new website doesn't work in terms of the bin collection. Whenever you click onto it, it says error. So you can't actually see the bin, which days your bins are being listed. If you get confused, you're weeks, like I do sometimes, and you go on to check. It worked under the old Down Legacy Council website up to maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so ago. But the actual Newry and Morne element, when you click on Down District, it's saying error. So maybe that needs to be fed back to be rectified.
And I know again when the brown bins went out, there was paper information was delivered with all of the bins, you know. And I certainly, if it wasn't right across the district, I can't explain that. But certainly, when I got the bins delivered to my home, all the information was in it. So we can look at that again and maybe try to refresh people's memories. Okay, councillors. Sorry, Councillor Walker.
Chair, just on the issue of the brown bins, there has been a breakdown in communications between staff and councillors and even the general public. Now, up until about 6-7 weeks ago, it was working perfectly for myself in relation to complaining, sending emails and getting emails returned. But I've found it has fell by the wayside, and I don't know whether I'm wrong here or not, but it seems to be from senior officers who went out in the stick in relation to that department, and the director has left, has retired. You know, it seems to fall substantially from that time. Up until that there, I have to say that I had never ever cause to complain about that department, because when I sent emails in, I got them returned from that specific officer. So it did. So maybe that's part of the problem too, that we have officers out and other ones are slacking within the department.
Comment, Councillor. That's it. We can now move on to item 10. Item 10 is to approve councillors and members of the NSE going to the AGM conference in Glasgow from the 3rd to the 5th of November. Councillors, you will have a list of the councillors there that are members of that NSE.
The fee, Chairman, is delegate's fee is there for the district councils.
Councillor Walker, do you want to come in on that item?
Yes, Chair. If you want me to make that a proposal or proposals needed, I'd make that a proposal.
Okay. Have we a seconder for that? Sorry, I didn't see who seconded. Oh. Is it for any councillor that wants to go? Can we? Are any of the councillors listed there? Okay. Well, can any of the councillors that are on the NSC, could they please contact the relevant people to let them know if they would like to go? Councillor Carr?
Just to say that I'm one of the councillors listed and I won't be available to go.
You won't be available to go. Okay. Well, we have approval for those councillors that are members of the NSC to attend the AGM. So anybody that is available to go, could you please contact and let us express your interest in going? Okay, we now move on to item 11, which was to consider the draft corporate response to the South Eastern Health Trust and the Southern Trust regarding their saving plans. You have all of the information there. I know we do the South Eastern Trust first. Has everybody happy with that response? Councillor Sharvin?
He's getting my chair. Chair, just on the responses, obviously both trusts are in a different scenario. The South Eastern especially being over 10 million. The trust classed as savings, I see it as cuts. Some of the responses are quite limited, and I mean no offence to the officer, but she shouldn't be afraid to go outside the box. The box is just there as an example. She can expand the box as much as she wishes to respond to. On the first question, where she says, you know, that we welcome the reduction of agency staff, that is right. We do encourage agency staff reduction as long as the permanent staff is increased. But we also need to be mindful at the moment is that we do have a dependency on agency staff to provide the locum and the NHS frontline services that we have today. And by reducing the agency, you know, that reduces the availability. Then there is other parts there about the equality. You know, a one line saying that we would require full equality impact assessment. But really what we should be saying is Newry Moore and Down Council believe that for an equal process until these proposals require a full equality impact assessment, the initial equality screening is limited and not a full view of possible outcomes. You know, in question 5, we just talk about times. ambulance response times, distance to a vehicle, accident and emergency, the impact onto our GP services from these cuts. They're not savings, they are cuts. Chair, I think the responses that we're doing is very light-hearted. You know, this is a major thing that's impacting on our district, both in South Eastern Trust and in Southern Trust. And I definitely think we should be wording it a bit stronger than what we are now.
Those comments will be taken on board. Have we anybody else who is specific to the South Eastern Trust? Councillor Clark?
Yeah. I had attended the meeting along with Dermot and a number of other councillors, Jill, in regards to formulating the response. And one of the reasons why there isn't a big lot of detail in it is because Eamon McGrady, along with ourselves, thought this was an insult to the community to come and present this, as you say, cuts, and that's exactly what it was. But we were of the opinion that this was some sort of tick box exercise to go out, consult, and then find the money from within. This was, in our opinion, it was more about playing politics in regards to the situation that's stormed at the minute than it was about real savings to be made. So that's one of the reasons why there's a bit lacking in detail. But if we had to put the real response, it would have been a lot more and a lot more to the point in regards to stop wasting the people's times, much as this exercise costing, because this, under normal circumstances, this amount of money would have been found in the October monitoring rounds. And we wouldn't have been going through this process at all. And it will be found. The money will be found. And this is one where the South Eastern Trust, we can agree. We're all fighting this together. And we won't accept the cuts. And that's basically what the document response was about.
Okay, Councillor Traynor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in relation to our response as well, we should probably highlight as well the need to explore the impacts that may be faced on ourselves from the Belfast Trust's cuts as well, given that, for instance, our stroke services, you know, Belfast is at this minute in time, the Royal sort of Hospital in the North that will provide certain treatments, as well as the fact that it's because of the Belfast Trust that we have locums who are able to travel down to Daisy Hill. So, you know, we should be really, you know, trying to get an answer from them about how other trust areas will also impact on ourselves here in Newry Morning Down. It's just for that maybe to be recorded.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillor Byrne, is yours? You're the only other light on, so I'll take you now as well.
Southern Trust,
that's fine. Responded. There's no other lights on. I think there's a general consensus over the two of them, but Firehead, the Southern Trust?
No, I disagree. The actual response from the Southern Trust, myself and Davy Highland and Declan McAteer have been in the response. And yeah, where there's a general consensus on savings and cuts, I think the word savings has to be changed there, where the general consensus is. I think the actual response from what we had fed into the officer at that meeting is nothing but sugar-coated. Even in the first line of the response, I think it needs to be changed before it gets sent, because it's not the message that we had given at that meeting. We're talking about, we welcome the trust is able to find most of the savings from slippage. We certainly didn't welcome it. We noticed that most of the savings were from slippage, but we argued against that. And one of the points there is, when we identified that 6.1 million of the 6.4 million cuts come from slippage, the point that we had made is that when we identified services like older people, mental health services, people with disabilities, that this funding, this was investment needed in these services at the start of the financial year. Now, just because there was no government sitting and the money couldn't be allocated, that because the money couldn't be allocated for 6 months, that the pressures on the services didn't increase, I find that laughable. So we didn't welcome that the savings came from slippage. We actually wanted a response to say that a consultation should be done with these services to see how the level has increased on these services, how the pressures have increased on this service. And surely, you know, just saying because we weren't sitting for 6 months, then only 50% of the money would be given out and we're going to make 70% of the savings of the 6.4 million is just ridiculous. The point that's in there is we'd be concerned if we lose 50% of this allocation and knock on effect next year. That is valid, but only if the first point is reworded and reiterated. Because what you get at the start of the financial year is you look at the department and say, well, there was 6.1 million identified for there. because of slippage, we only spent 50% of it. We got on rightly, and this is easy to identify next year for more cuts. So that has to be fixed in it. Also, the other point is it's not heavy-handed enough in what we had laid at the meeting. It states about the delivery of equipment, which you'll no longer get from pharmacies, but will be delivered out to people straight from centres or hubs or whatever. Now, it says that in the response, this may mean poorer service to patients. We didn't say it may. We said it will mean poorer service to patients. Now, we're talking about the Rural Needs Act and rural proofing this legislation or anything that happens or any changes to come here. If you're talking about delivering something from Belfast out to rural South Armagh on a Friday, and I can guarantee you that you will have delays because it's not an urban area, and it will be wait till Monday or Tuesday. Whereas the system that's set up now, that person will go to the local pharmacist and pick up the equipment. Now, I do agree that there could be cuts there. We talked about £75,000 cuts. What we wanted worded in this is we asked that it will not have poorer services in the rural areas. We're not, it's sugar-coated in the ward and it's too nice. So, where across both responses, I want the ward welcomes the trust able to find most of the services and slippage to be taken out, and we noted it with the point of the increased pressure that has to be study done, and also that the word may mean poorer service. I want that taken out and say that we ask that there is no restrictions to service or poorer service in rural areas.
Two councillor, those will be taken on board, and everybody's in agreement with those points being taken on board. Okay, and that's fair enough. Do you propose and second them then, just to make it official? Councillor Hyland, Councillor Byrne. Yeah, okay. Item 12 on the agenda is the Charity Commission for Northern Ireland proposed changes to the annual monitoring returns 2018. That is just for noting, really. Has anybody any comments or queries about it? Be happy just to note. Okay. Item 13 is the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service Health and Social Care Trust Equality Action Plans and Disability Action Plans. Again, that is really just for noting, and we have nothing further there. Sorry, Pete.
Yeah, just one small point, Chair. Just the date of the document where it was sent out on the 7th of September and received on the 11th. I'm wondering why that document wasn't presented at the health working groups when we were consulting on the previous document that we could have fed into that as well.
Again, the working groups were set up for that there. It possibly wasn't picked up by the officer at that point in time.
Sorry, we now have item 14, the notice of motion. And as all councillors here will be aware, that in accordance with our council standing order 16.1, could you just let me finish speaking, please, Councillor Byrne? I am chairperson and I'm speaking in accordance with standing orders. And then you can come in. In accordance with the Council Standing Order 16.1, if the subject matter of any motion of which the notice has been properly given comes within the remit of any committee, it shall, upon being moved and seconded, stand referred without discussion to that committee or to such other committee, working group or forum as the Council may determine for consideration and report. Councillor, you have your red light on. Councillor Brown, you brought the motion.
Thank you, Chair. I would seek your permission to move the motion. But first, can I just say thank you to the many ratepayers who have
travelled
up here today.
Sorry, Councillor, excuse me.
To present
the petition. You have got to read the motion, Councillor Brown.
And who waited patiently
Councillor
to hear
Brown.
This motion being discussed.
Okay, Councillor Brown, if you do not stick to the standing orders, the standing orders of this council are there for a reason. Do you wish to read the motion?
Chair. Chair, under Standing Order 17, I would like to add an additional paragraph prior to moving my motion.
Councillor, You
which
must
is fully within
the
my
standing
right to
order
orders.
States that the motion must be read exactly as it has been presented.
And within
to
Standing
Council,
Order 17, I would like to add, and this is Standing Order 17.2, Part D, to insert or add words to a motion.
We'll just get clarity here.
And the wording
sorry,
of that is,
Councillor Brown, please don't belittle your fellow councillors and the standing orders of this chamber by trying to be smart.
The only people
will ask
that are being
for clarity
here are the people
here
who have travelled up all the way.
I will ask for clarity. And as a councillor, you should have been well aware that this motion under standing orders could not have been accepted. It would be referred to the Strategic Project Working Group. Do you wish to read out the motion, councillor?
Under standing orders, I can add words to my motion.
Which standing orders is it exactly we're having difficulty?
17.2 Part D to insert or add words.
That can only be when it's under debate, and it's not under debate because the standing orders dictate that it should be moved. I'm asking you again, Councillor.
That is an interpretation.
Do you wish to read the motion? Do you wish to read the motion?
I do indeed, Chair.
Well, sorry, Councillor Burns. Councillor, just to go back to the way this happened, I spoke, you tried to speak over me. Councillor Brown was the councillor who put forward the motion. If you look at Councillor Brown's light, you will see that Councillor Brown's light is the one that is lit to speak. Now, Councillor Brown, I'm asking you again, do you want the motion or do you want to give way to Councillor Burns to let him suspend standing orders?
Yes, given that
well, then
moving
that's absolutely
my motion would invalidate
okay.
Councillor Burns' proposal, I will give way.
Councillor Burns, would you like to put your light off? And please, Councillor Gordon, you've been here long enough to know how the lighting system works, and it is extremely bad manners to scream and roar in front or over any other councillor. So please state what you want to do.
I appreciate I've been here long enough to understand that, and I've also probably the least time out of everybody here to understand standing orders, and when I asked on the 27.1 for standing orders to be suspended, I expect that to be taken to a vote.
And, Councillor, there was a training session quite recently for newer councillors that came in and you didn't attend. But please put forward your request.
Clarify that, please. I did attend.
Please put forward your request.
You can remove that accusation.
Would you like to put forward your request?
I have put forward my request. I would ask for standing orders to be suspended.
Okay.
I want that to go to a vote.
Can we have that to proposer? We
just for clarification purposes, suspension of the amendment of standing orders. Any member may move to for a motion for the suspension of standing orders of one or more of the standing orders, excluding standing orders 20.4, 21, 22 and 23, which cannot be suspended. A motion under standing order should require the support of a qualified majority within the meaning of Section 40 of 2014 of the Act, which means it requires 80% of those present and voting. So the minutes of the meeting, suspension can only be during in the duration of the meeting. And the minutes of the meeting must record the reason for suspension, which Professor Byrne needs to do, and mandatory standing orders specified in the standing order regulations may not be suspended by the Council.
State clearly, Councillor, why you feel that this needs to be, the standing orders need to be suspended, and then
because
we go immediately for... Yeah.
I know as chair it's the discretion of the chair to move it to a committee, but I could sit here and argue.
No, sorry,
you've asked me to
Hold on a minute. That is a misrepresentation of the standing orders of this council. It is
you've
not at the discretion of the chair. This is the standing orders
and
of the government.
And I'm going to interpret it differently than
council.
You've interpreted it.
It is the standing orders, it is the legal requirement, and every single motion brought before this council, and I have them at hand, every single motion brought to this council that has been brought, that can be dealt with a committee in this council, has been deferred to the committee.
Yeah.
Watch your language and be accurate. Be accurate, because it is not at the discretion of the chair. Carry on.
And I'll explain that point. And it is, when I went to the training that I did not go to, I was told that at the discretion of the chair, if there's any ambiguity in standing orders, and I've seen this happen over the last 18 months, that the chair's interpretation is final. So if there is any ambiguity, and I believe there's ambiguity here, and that's why I'm raising this point and proposing that we suspend standing orders, I can sit here and make an argument to send it to ERT. I can make an argument to send it to SBNR based on land. I can make an argument to send it to AHC based on the nature of that committee. It falls under the remit of at least three committees, and that is why it should be heard at full council, instead of being sent to all different committees. And that's why I'm proposing that we suspend standing orders. And
so you're saying, can we be clear that you want to suspend a motion because you believe it can go to three separate committees within council?
I don't want to suspend the motion. I want to suspend standing orders to hear the motion in this chamber instead of sending it three different ways, because I believe there's a remit for three different committees.
Okay. Have you got a seconder for that, and then it goes automatically to vote? Okay. Can we then go? Councillor, have we got someone? Have you recorded someone as having seconded? Okay.
Okay.
I would remember members of the public that you are supposed to be quiet while you're in this chamber. And as I have already said, every motion thus far brought to this committee, without exception, that can be dealt with by a council committee has been deferred to that council committee. So I think rather than opening it up for any further debate, we need to take a vote as to whether or not we are suspending standing orders.
Chairman, it has to,
it has to be a recorded vote.
Okay, Chairman. Councillor Andrews, for suspending standing orders. Councillor Bailey, absent. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Gone. Councillor Burns. Councillor Carr. Sorry, Councillor Byrne, sorry. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey. Yeah. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig. Wait. Councillor Curran. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Dorn. Not here. Councillor Enright. Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor Hannah, not here. Councillor Hart. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Harty. Councillor Hyland. Councillor Kimmins.
Yes.
Councillor Larkin.
Yes.
Councillor Loughran. Councillor McCauley. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McMahon. Councillor McMurray. Councillor Mulgrew.
Against.
Councillor Murnan. Councillor O'Gribben, not here. Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Ray. Councillor Rowan, Councillor Savage, Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Stokes, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Tinley, Councillor Traynor, Councillor Walker.
Okay.
Needs to be 80%.
So, unfortunately, the necessary 80% was not. We're going to tell you the vote now in a minute and the percentage.
Do you want me to come in?
Yeah.
Chairman, it was 22-4, 13 against, using 35 of those present in voting. 80% required, 28, and there was only 22 for, so suspending orders won't be suspended.
So the motion will be referred to the strategic project working group. Would you like to read it out? Would you like to read it out, Councillor?
Yes, but it almost feels like debate is being stifled here tonight. I don't know if any of my
Councillor, do you want to put your motion? And again, the public are being asked to respect this chamber and be quiet. What has happened here tonight? Okay, Councillor, I can actually suspend the motion. You need to read this motion out so we can send it to the appropriate workshop and committee so that it will be appropriately and thoroughly dealt with. Please do that.
Okay. This council confirms its commitment to a full 15-acre community park project on the Albert Basin site in Newry. The council realises that the Albert Basin site was given to the people of Newry in 1986 and that a commitment was given at that time to develop it as a recreation and amenity area for the generations of the future. It also recognises the work of community activists in presenting their plans for the park through a petition with over 10,000 signatures. Council commits to delivering a park in parallel with other capital works projects in Newry within the next council term. The council shall, within 3 months, establish a task and finish group reporting to the capital projects working group consisting of elected members, community representatives, and a dedicated council officer to establish plans to move forward the Albert Basin Park project and investigate funding options.
Thank you, Councillor Howard. Can we have a seconder? Can we have a seconder, please? Councillor Stokes, all you have to say is that you second it and the meeting is closed. Do you second the proposal, the motion?
Yeah, Chair, don't put words in my mouth, please. Chair, okay. In seconding the motion,
someone needs to second the motion.
Chair,
someone needs.
I want to pay tribute, Chair, to those councillors and parties who have got behind the people of Newry and backing what is a basic right of room for a park and somewhere to live, work, and play. Thank God, Chair, some of us have heard a stand up for us. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. The meeting is closed. I'm sorry.